Good morning, sir. What is your name?
John Steimer.
Okay, Mr. Steimer. The Honorable David Mills is going to be conducting your hearing this morning. You'll be hearing the next voice you hear will be that of Mr. Mills, sir.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
John Whitney Steimer, 039370.
Thank you, sir. I will pray you a friend for the Honorable David. Thank you. Come see this morning in reference to a parole hearing. I'm going to introduce the board member that will conduct the hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left, the Honorable Michael Johnson, then the Honorable Gary Rittenhouse, Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. And all the way to the right is the Honorable Rick Mills, who is my, he's here. I'm sorry, I've come up with my words. My name is David Mills. I'll be hearing you this morning. Again, sir, we're going to go over some information about your sentencing and the offense, and we're going to move into the discussion with you about, you know, what's changed and different things about why you think we should grant your referral. Okay, sir?
Can I say one thing real quick?
Okay.
At this time, I'm not ready to make parole. I have not been able to fulfill any of the requests you gave me the last time I came to see you. I have no residence, no job, and I just think it would be futile at this time to actually proceed with this hearing.
Okay, so one way or the other, we have to go through some information on the hearing, and then the other way is we have to conduct the hearing even if you want to waive your appearance or if you don't feel you're quite ready. So I can foreshorten it and just go through a basic informational, and then we can do a motion. You're welcome to leave the room. We can do the waive hearing later on. It's entirely up to you, but I can foreshorten it considerably if you don't feel you're ready for the court anymore.
Yes, please.
Okay, well then I'll just go over the basics of it. If you do hear anything that you feel is incorrect, tell me and we can talk about that part and get it correct. And then I'll just, once I've gone through the information, I'll do a motion, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you are 60 years old now, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're serving six concurrent life sentences. One is for burglary, one is for attempted first-degree murder, one is for armed robbery, and there are three aggravated assault charges. Plus, you had one, which is it was already expired. It was a 12-year sentence for misconduct involving weapons from that same offense. All these sentences began on May 16, 1991, and were a result of a jury verdict. Your sentencing was on July 12, 1991. You became paroled on March 6, 2018, and you were certified for this hearing, which is for regular parole home arrest or absolute discharge on February 13, 2019. You've only been in front of the board one previous time for this sentence group. So, you have quite a criminal history, but the primary considerations are as follows. On August 30th, 1978, you pled guilty to murder in the first degree and you were placed on 5 years probation. Then on November 6th, 1978, you were charged with another burglary and pled guilty on January 15th, 1979. Due to the plea on that charge, you were found in violation of your term probation, and your sentence was run concurrent with the new charges. You finished those sentences in July of 1980. Then in 1983, you pled guilty to misdemeanors of trespass, and two counts of using the telephone to terrify. You were sentenced to 3 years of probation. Apparently, in July 1984, that probation was revoked, and you finished your sentence in jail. Then, in June of 1985, you were sentenced to 7.5 years for second-degree burglary and traffic in stolen property. You were released on temporary release as a pre-parole release, and you were placed at Flat Rock in Tucson. At the time of the incident, you were 8 miles from Sacramento. You turned yourself in on September 6th of 1990, and your parole was rescinded, and you completed that term while incarcerated, waiting for trials on the incident offense. And that brings us to the incident offense, which separated before 1990, about midnight, you and another defendant went into a bar. You both had, we had different doors, you both had shotguns. There was a bar where we were approximately 10 patrons, a bartender, and an owner manager. Your co-defendant over there went to the floor and punctuated his order by firing shotguns into the jukebox. Everybody complied with these orders. He then went behind the bar. He ordered the bartender to arise from the floor and open the cash register. He emptied the cash from the cash register into his coat pocket. Then he hit the bartender in the head with a shotgun. Then he returned to the front of the bar. He began collecting wallets from the patrons and demanding keys to a vehicle. Then one patron gave him keys to a Chevrolet Blazer, which was parked outside. During that time, two more patrons seized an opportunity and jumped the co-defendant. They were wrestling with him on the floor. You saw your partner in trouble and assaulted the new patron. You fired your shotgun into the back of one victim and hit the second in the head with the butt of your shotgun. After your co-defendant was free from the patrons, both of you exited the bar, left the area of the Blazer Park in the parking lot. The first victim was operating on the new shotgun pellets from his wound, and the second was operating on the elevated depressed skull fracture. So a subsequent investigation identified the two of you, and went through the process, and were convicted and sentenced. Okay, so based on all this information, unless you want to correct anything, does that sound like the basic outline of what happened?
Yes, sir, that's about right.
Okay. We've had, since you've been in, you've had moderate disappointment with drugs and violence. You've had 5 tickets in the last 5 years. January 31st of 14 was a disorderly conduct, which was minimum. March of 14 was possession of drugs, a major. March 11th of 14 was poverty or refused to do away, which was a major. March of 2016, theft and possession of a stolen item. And then on May 26th of 2016, possession of drugs. You've had no sickness for since that, in about 2.5 years, which is very commendable. Not a lot of programming. We don't have any indication of any support at this time, and there's no good release time. I would also note that we don't have any victims in opposition today, nor do we have any information from the county attorney's office that we've been from. So based on all the information today and Mr. Steiner's request to foreshorten the hearing, I'm going to make a motion to deny whether for whom we asked for to discharge at this time. And given the date of the crime, I'm going to wait for a one-minute set-off. And I'm going to give a motion.
Second.
Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones. And the reason would be if the sewer is wired and fixed. The sewer is by the injury, multiple victims, and based on the incidents of the armed robberies and progressed victim harassment, violating previous probation parole, the history of the felony behavior, or criminal history overall. Lack of programming for this plan, no family trees for them, unless there's something else, nothing else. Okay, sir.
Can I say one thing, sir?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm currently housed in a unit that provides absolutely no programming that you're requiring of me.
Okay, first of all, I didn't say, what I said is that, you know, it's, you have lack of programming. You know, I'm not requiring, the board is not requiring you to do anything specific in the way of programming. We just like to see as much as possible. We do understand that some yards are very difficult to get any programming in. Okay, so, but we also see inmates come from yards that have little or any programming, and they don't give much to lifers until they have some kind of a release date. These same inmates will reach out to the community colleges outside the walls of the prison and do tremendous amounts of programming. We've had one gentleman that actually received a bachelor's degree while he was incarcerated.
Okay, I follow you.
Okay, and it's a matter of, you know, initiative, but one of the big things, I believe for the last time was the release plan. We, you know, have reach out to some of these halfway houses, see if we can get an acceptance. We can't recommend anyone specifically, but I will say that the faith-based ones are have very good programs. And so there's things like that. And it's like the program is not a requirement, sir. But you do have to have some sort of housing aligned out there. And the other thing is that DOC wants is that for you to have 2 months worth of financial support so that you don't go out going to a halfway house and then get kicked out 2 weeks into it because you don't have any money to pay for it and you haven't been able to find a job yet. That kind of stuff. Okay, that's, you know, we don't have any set criteria that you have to do. But we do recommend as much programming, even if it's just AA and NA classes. People who don't have substance abuse problems can still benefit from those. And sometimes you can get into those things too, and you end up mentoring other prisoners, those young guys that have just come into the system, and you can give them some tips to keep them out of trouble while they're in there, and maybe keep them from coming back once they get out. So there's a lot of good from that, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, and I do appreciate your straightforwardness about this. It's, you know, you're being pleasant and straightforward about it, and we do appreciate that.
Okay, sir.
All right, so this is what you're hearing, and we do wish you the best of luck, and we'll see you again when they certify for the next hearing, sir.
Mr. Dale?
Okay,
could you also, I was going to ask if you could also inform him that he has the option to sign a waiver if he doesn't want to come back and appeal before this board.